Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to speak to you briefly concerning, because we have food to go eat and all, but I want to speak to you briefly concerning the faithfulness of God, faithfulness to God in today's culture. How many of you know that He is looking for not that you just have faith, but that you are faithful in your faith? To have the faith of God that he has given us, He's deposited inside us. So we have that faith, but at the same time, He wants us to be able to work out that faith, and that is called faithfulness. So He wants us to be faithful in the things of faith, faithful in the things of our walk and demonstration of who He is. So if this faithfulness to God in today's culture, and Isaiah, you can go there, you can read with me. Isaiah 26. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. I'll tell you, that's a powerful statement. Open the gates to all who are righteous, the faithful enter. Faithful people will enter the gates that God opens for us to be able to do the things that He has for us to go and do. How many of you know, we are not called just to what some people normally call have church. Well, we had church. We're really not called to do that. It's great to be excited. It's great to rejoice. It's great to praise and dance and worship. It's great, but we're called to make disciples. We are sent to disciple people, to train people in the process of their walking with God. So it's not just, it's not just the feeling that that we have when we get together. And I felt great today, didn't you? Amen. Nothing's wrong with that. It was just awesome. Just awesome. It really was. But see, it has to go along with disciple making. It has to go along with bringing people up to being faithful in their walk with Him. By the way, River, I am proud of you, son. I really am. God is demonstrating how much He loves you and also demonstrating His plan for you. I know you don't see it all yet, but it's big. It truly, truly is. It's big. So welcome back. Welcome back home. That's true. But I remember drifting. I remember drifting at his age. Just sort of drifting. Christian, but just sort of drifting. Doing my own thing. Doing what I felt like I needed to do, wanted to do, and whatever made me happy. But I found out the bottom end of it wasn't happiness. It was rough. Rough. Have you ever been there, Brian? It's been rough. It's rough when you drift and you sort of slide and you get away from the things that God wants you to do. But your parents, along with your friends and your family, waited on God. And He's faithful. He's faithful. Isn't He faithful? How many of you are waiting on someone to wait? Look, that's a lot. Listen, you're waiting to see that person come home, right? Do this again. Raise both hands. All right. We're carrying a lot of people. See, all across the congregation, we're carrying a lot of people. But see, we need to make that song our declaration. I've tasted your goodness, right? And what was it about the promises? I'm faithful to your promises. And I'm going to wait on you. See, waiting does not mean that we're just sitting still. Waiting, it means that we are with excitement looking for the Lord to provide the answer. Looking for the Lord to provide the answer. And so he's at work. He really is. He really at work. So open the gates and all who are righteous and the faithful will enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. There's that faithful again. So he'll keep you in perfect peace. How many of you want the perfect peace? That comes from faithfulness. That comes from our trust and our faithfulness to who God is and what he said. And whose thoughts are fixed on you. We got to fix our thinking. So has your thinking ever needed fixing? No, I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking, yeah, my thoughts have needed fixing, right? And then when you begin to rethink and you begin to think in the ways that God wants us to think and our mind gets renewed, we become transformed and we become who he wants us to be. I lived for many, many years in my life being someone that he never intended for me to be. Many, many years until the awakening came of who he really is, who I really am in him, and his purpose for my life began to be unfolded. But I had to make a decision, move from who I was comfortable with and being conditioned by a world system, by family systems, by all kinds of different systems, another instead of the kingdom way. But when that happens, you'll never be the same. Because it's me, amen, you'll never be the same. So he says, fix your thoughts on you. That's part of him keeping us at perfect peace. Trust in the Lord always, for he is the Lord God. He is the eternal rock. He is the one in which you stand, and that rock will never shake. There's a lot of shaking, you know. Elvis used to sing about that, right? A whole lot of shaking going on, you know. And but see what we need to realize is God is the one that's doing the shaking. See, we think it's the enemy shaking. No, it's God. Now, let me say this. You know, there is a devil. How many of you know there is a devil? But I want you and I to think about this. I thought about it this week. But he's God's devil. He uses him any way he wants to use him. Sometimes he uses him to bring us in situations that we feel tribulation, we feel this and we feel that. And all the while, God is using the devil to draw us closer to Jesus. That's how God works. So when you think about the devil, you just say, well, that's God's devil. He'll use him any way he wants to. I don't know what that does with y'all's theology, but it works for mine, so it's pretty good. So you look at this thing and said, he is the eternal rock. And verse 8 said, Lord, watch this. We show our trust in you by obeying your word. How are you going to demonstrate that you are faithful? How are you going to demonstrate? Well, you have to obey his word. You have to do what he wants you to do. Follow his ways. Follow his word. Follow the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. That demonstrates to the world. It demonstrates to the darkness that light is here. Light has come. Our heart's desire is to glorify your name. That should be our heart's desire in everything that we do. Our heart should have a strong desire that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, wherever we are, it will glorify his name. That should be our heart's desire. See, that's faithfulness. That's faithful people. David, you remember we talked about this last year, and by the way, thank you so much for lending us your beard. You know, and I told him I wouldn't be grabbing that beard today. Somebody wanted a replay. No, Tyler, we wouldn't do that to you. But last week we talked about, but we didn't get to finish everything about that. See, here's the thing: our worship and gratitude create the threshold of our becoming faithful. The threshold of our becoming faithful comes from our worship and our gratefulness, our gratitude. See, one of the things in the last day is talking about people will be ungrateful. They won't be grateful for anything. Matter of fact, they will be ungrateful which actually means they will be feeling like they're entitled. I don't have to thank you for this. This is what I deserve. This is what I'm supposed to get. That's what he's talking about when they become ungrateful. See, it's not that they're not thanking people. They just say, well, this is entitled. I don't have to thank anybody. Have you ever seen a self-made man? Wasn't too much to look at. You know, we said, well, you know, he's a self-made man. Well, he may have plenty of money. But if he's the one that made himself, that's what he's got. Don't have anything else. See, the thing is, becoming faithful, we're going to start with David. David was out in the wilderness tending sheep, taking care of these little sheep that he'd been given. And he was, you know, at this age, you know, Israel, come up here. I can pick on him. He's my buddy. Okay, River, come on up. You just made it. Well, I might just think a family get together. Hi, he said. Come on. Come on. How old are you?
14.
All right, you stand on this side. All right, here comes River. Aren't you proud of your brother?
I am very proud.
I am very proud, too. Good. I got a photo.
Greater news has not come in months. Great news has come.
Great news has come. More news are coming.
It sounded better in my brain.
It sounded better in his brain?
That's it.
You know, that's almost everything I say. It sounded better when I thought about it. But anyway, watch this. See, the thing we need to capture and understand is the fact that this thing about killing the bear and killing the lion, being faithful to the task given to guard and protect the sheep, was given to a 14-year-old. Kill the bear, kill the lion, because he was protecting what he was given by his father and God, and he was not going to let the innocent suffer. 14 years old.
I couldn't kill a lion yet.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. David did it. He was your age.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not. He was your age. Why? How did he do that? Because he was faithful. And God, we sing that song, he will renew your strength. He makes your strength hit his strength. And then you're able to be able to take out the very thing that you're given to do to protect the job that you've been given to do. See, God has a lot. You know, I think a lot of the great news that you're thinking about is going to come from you. So there's a lot of things that you're going to be doing that you haven't figured out yet, but he's going to tell you. Now, we get to this thing about you are almost 18.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Almost 18 years old. So around 17 years old, is when David fought the giant. You see this? This is a generation that we need to be praying for to say, let them be lion and bear killers that will protect the innocent, and let them also be the giant killers that is going to cry out on everything that is opposing God. Amen. And take out. Good. Thank you, guys.
I see a pattern. I see a pattern.
You see a pattern. And that pattern is?
Age thing.
It sounded good in your head.
I can't think of a name.
That's good. He's good. I love him. See, when you begin to see the size and you begin to see, well, how in the world can a 14, how in the world can a 17, 18-year-old, how can they do that? God. Listen, don't give up on this next generation. You're going to hear a lot of things about they this, they that, they you know, they're not following God. They don't want God. They're just too intellectual to do it. Listen, don't give up on them. You begin to say not what the world is saying. You begin to say what God says about them. You begin to agree with God that he can turn. Listen, if he can turn River around, he can turn anybody around. I'm not saying he's that bad. I'm just saying I remember Ted Hamrick telling Brenda, said, you know, if God can do that to you, to Brenda, if God can do that to you, he can do that to anybody. You know, it was all praying for Brenda to, you know, to to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff. And Brenda was like, I don't think so, you know, during those days, you know. And then the next thing you know, Happy New Year. Is that what somebody said? Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the first thing you know. Is that first or the next thing you know? The first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Anyway, Brenda, see, that was a rabbit. We don't need to catch it. We just need to let it go. So in the process, God's sovereign. God begins to work for what I couldn't do, when anybody else couldn't convince her of. All of a sudden, God whispers in her ear, and the next thing you know, it's like, pow, she's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's like, and then she's a changed woman. I mean, she's already a Christian, but there was power that began to come and influence that began to come that made a bigger and larger impact on her life. Why? Because God is faithful, and he's just looking for faithful people to surrender and saying, yes, yes. So you see that our worship and our gratitude, and that comes out of Psalm 95, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For the Lord, watch this, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. See, here's what's happening. We enter in with this worship and thanksgiving with gratefulness and gratitude. But the second part we need to know, we need to think amazing thoughts about God. I'm going to try this side. We need to think amazing thoughts about God. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to give them another chance. We need to think amazing thoughts about God. Amen? Amen. Now, so the meter goes over this way, and then you go down this. No. But see, the thing is, we enter in with worship, we enter in with thanksgiving, but see, our thoughts about who he is, even when it's stormy outside, we need to think amazing thoughts about God. Here's one. The Lord is a great God. And see, not only do we need to think amazing thoughts about God, we need to proclaim those thoughts out loud. Y'all with me? There's another one. He is a great King, and he is above all gods. Yeah. Name any God you want to name. Name any organization that you want to name. God is above all. God is above all. Whatever is opposing you, God is above that. Whatever's giving you the rough time, God is above that. Whatever's making you feel this and making you feel, God is above that. I serve a great God. Yes. How about you? Yes. I serve one who created it all. Yes. How much did he create? All of it. He's the creator of all of it. I serve a God who heals. Yes. Today. Yes. I serve a God who delivers. How about you? Yes. Can you name me something about God? Can you have an amazing thought about God that you want to say out loud? Sure. He's what? He restores. He redeems. He's amazing. Joy. Gives us strength. He gives new life. Absolutely. How about over here? Say that again. He reveals. Absolutely. See, he discloses himself. He opens up himself to us to be able to see him as he truly is. Not as men want to tell us how he is. You ever got some erroneous information about God? Thoughts about God? I did. I grew up with false information. He's hiding behind the post. You get out of line just one little bit, and he's coming after you. I was told that. I mean, I even got to thinking, who in the world wants to be around him? I stay in trouble all the time. So kids grow up thinking that kind of stuff because it's not true. Right? Not true. Anybody else? What's another amazing thought about God? All right. Bridget. Absolutely nothing is impossible for God. Ooh. You what? I've got two people talking. I've got two ears, but it's just a little impossible for me to do that. Yeah. He's a creator. He makes everything new. See, we could go on and on. But that's something that we need to rehearse within ourselves, and that's something that we need to say, what is my amazing thought about God today? And what am I going to dwell on today? What am I going to think about today? And then what am I going to proclaim today? That's how faithfulness begins. Why? Because we're becoming more God conscious instead of becoming more problem conscious. It's not that you don't have problems, but you're bringing the solution. You're bringing the answer. You're bringing what you need to bring, who is God, to the situation that nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. Right. He's God of all gods, Lord of all lords. See, this thing about him being Lord, see, that's one of the things that faithfulness does. Faithfulness, I think we have it down here. Well, we'll go on. Faithfulness, for it to flourish, we must also have amazing thoughts about God. I really want you to start doing that every day. Just start thinking, maybe when you get up, whenever, just make it a point. Say, what is my amazing thought about God today? And then begin to proclaim that amazing thought about his greatness. Begin to speak it out. Begin to tell other people. They're waiting to hear it. They're waiting for the authentic to show up. See, they've tasted religion and found it to be. But they need to taste the Lord's goodness. I've tasted his goodness. I've trusted in his promise. And I'm going to wait on him. We're going to get through this. See, faithfulness is dependability regardless of circumstances. In other words, you can be dependent upon regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what shows up in your life. Faithfulness is being dependable regardless of the circumstances. Do you think we need that today? Do you think the world needs to see that today? Absolutely. Faithfulness is living underneath his lordship. Being faithful to live underneath his lordship. There's a lot of people that want him as Savior but do not want him as Lord. They want the benefit of salvation, but they don't want the benefits of obedience and following, of being a disciple. He's Lord. He's Lord of all. And then the other one is faithfulness maximizes heaven's opportunities on earth. See, David maximized heaven's opportunities. See, while he was tending the sheep, his dad came to him and said, "I want you to take the cheese and bread, and I want you to check on your brothers, give it to your brothers, and I want you to go and just serve them. But get word about how they are. I want to know how my son. He had three sons over there in the battle. Just let me know how they are." And here's the thing about it. We overlook it so many times. Matter of fact, I have so many times. It said David rose the next morning and left his sheep with a keeper. He never abandoned a previous assignment to be able to go do the next one. He stayed faithful to this one and made sure the sheep was going to be taken care of. And he put somebody in charge of that till he got back. That's his faithfulness. And then he went on, and then he went on to the scene of the battle and all that. And then you begin to see that in the midst of it, he hears the giant. He hears him defying God. He hears him taunting God's people. But see, in the middle of that, watch this. In the middle, I have it written down here. In the middle of all that, I'm going to show you that sometimes we're going to serve. Faithfulness is serving others, and it's the doorway of greatness. But it's not without opposition and conflict. So how do you know that? Look at what happened to him. His brother, his older brother, becomes enraged, angry at him because of David's actions. He was scorned by the very ones he was sent to serve. They scorned him. They ridiculed him, but he remained faithful. They mocked him, but he remained faithful. They belittled him, but he remained faithful. They insulted him, but he remained faithful. They criticized him, but he remained faithful. They falsely judged him, but he remained faithful. The king tried to suit him up and say, this is how you need to do it. Do it our way with his armor. Do it out. The world wants to tell us how it is that we need to make an influence and an impact on people's lives. It won't ever happen that way. It'll be through God's word, God's will, God's path, God's spirit. It'll be by, if you're going to impact people for God, it'll be through him. It won't be through a world system. So he rises up, and you know the story. He rises up, and he says, is there not a cause? You know, we got to do something about this. And they don't like it. They don't like him being there. They said, why don't you get back to your few sheep that you're taking care of? David, they put Saul's armor on David. He peels it off and said, I have not tested this. I can't do this. See, Saul was a man that was head and shoulders above the average man. David was 17. But what he heard was the taunting. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to change our thinking a little bit. But we need to not be molded by the world and how they say we need to believe and how we need to treat people. We need to get that from God's word and God's spirit. Bible tells us over in Colossians, he says, see to it that no one carries you captive, makes you captive by so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, following human tradition, crude notions, instead of following the teachings of Christ. See, there are systems out there that wants to hold you and I captive with its own teachings of how we need to do them. Now, so you begin to look at that, and then if you read it out of another translation, this is out of Passion, listen to what it says. Beware that no one distracts you in with their attempt to lead you astray from Christ's fullness. Beware of that. Pretending to be full of wisdom when they are filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not on the anointed truths that come from the anointed one. Here's one, for instance, and we'll close. Over in San Francisco, this happened just a few months ago in San Francisco. There was a gay men's choir. They stood up and said, as we celebrate pride and progress we've made over these past few years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have this message for you. The lyrics of the song begin to taunt godly parents, and that they will not be able to stop their children from being affected by the LGBTQ agenda, since it is constantly being pushed by major media outlets. Here's some of the lyrics of the song. I'm not going to play the video. Here's some of the lyrics of the song. You say we all lead lives that you don't respect, but you're just frightened You think that we'll corrupt your kids with our agenda if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children, happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. Notice here that they're saying, we will convert your children when they establish their agenda on being born that way. But we're going to convert them. We'll convert your children without you even noticing it. Just like you're worried, they'll change their group of friends and you won't approve of where they go at night. And you'll be disgusted when they start learning things online that you kept from them and from their sight. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. The gay agenda is coming home. The gay agenda is here. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. We're coming for them. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. We're coming for your children. Now, that's the song that they did. Now, we love them, but we do know that we're battling a spiritual battle. And we need to war against the spirit that is influencing these people so we can love these people, but yet stand against the very things that are forcing them, pushing them, and controlling them. The LGBTQ producers are actively working behind the scenes in children's programming to push their agenda through characters and storylines in animated cartoons. A total of 259 of those characters in children's video have already been counted so far, and this was a report that was done in July. 259 characters are already there. So we must be like David. We must run to the battle and not sit still. We must rise up and do this spiritual warfare, loving the people, loving every person that sang the song, but standing against the very thought of they're going to control our children. They're going to convert the children. Oh, we're going to, you just stand up and stand up against that spirit, the spirit of uncleanness, perversion. So in closing, what do we do about this? Titus 1 says this, holding fast, that means to be faithful with. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that you may be able to exhort in strong and sound doctrine. Hold fast to the word of God that you've been taught, that you will be able to exhort in strong and sound doctrine and be able to refute those who contradict. In other words, prove wrong. And so you'll be able to prove wrong to everyone that contradicts it. See, that's our job. See, it takes faithfulness to do that. You can't be fearful. The enemy wants you and I to be quiet. You're afraid. Lee had something. What was it you said? Come up here and give those and we'll know we got to close. We talked about the voice, silencing the voice. You can use that microphone.
Just real quick, I was relating to Pastor last week, after his message last week. I read a survey that said that 62% of the people who responded to the survey were afraid to speak their mind in public. A further 72% were afraid to speak their mind on their job for fear of being fired.
Okay, that's what we're faced with. Praise team, you guys come on up. We're gonna do that song again as we close. But see, here's the thing about it. You know, the enemy wants the prophetic voice, wants the revelation, wants everything shut down from coming from God's people. You know, and plus they'll say, if you rise up against this, you're a bigot. Not true. They can label whatever they want to lay. You know, put whatever name you want on it. We're going to be God's people who are faithfully standing and protecting our children. Amen. As we love those that are, we love them, and we want to win them. We want to win every single one of them. We really do. Why? Because they're created by God. They're God's creation. We're called to love them. We're called to help them. But the only way we're going to help them is give them the truth and take a stand against the opposition. So that's what we need to do. See, that's what David did. He took a stand against the very thing that was taunting God's people. And he came not in his own will, his own power. He came in the power of God. Because all along, while he was getting ready, while he was tending sheep, while he was worshiping, he was waiting on the Lord. Let's stand together and we'll just sing this song. And this will be our closing. And you feel free to leave at any moment during the song. And after this, we're going to go straight down and we're going to have some food. Amen. See, this is very important. See, this seals the deal for us as Christians. So we rise up, we worship with gratitude, and we stand in the face of opposition, and we declare God's goodness, and we declare who God is. And we do the actions that we need to take to be able to love people, but stand against the very thing that is defying God. Amen? Amen. So let's sing this song. And y'all ready? All right. Go ahead. Bless y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.